Yeah, so, all right, as promised, guys, I am live with Gloria Masters. She has been at the tip of the spear internationally, exposing these monsters. Her activism is rooted in her horrific childhood. I'm going to hand it over to her to tell you what happened, because she told us about 4 years ago on YouTube, and people were compelled to listen and to follow her, and to follow her activism and the hand signal and all the stuff she is doing internationally to help young people get out of the hands of these monsters. So we salute Gloria for her work. And I've told Gloria, and it's not to detract from the horrific things that people go through, but there are certain words we've got to use these days. We use the R word. We use SA, SRA, CSA. And when we're describing drugs, we use colors. So the white stuff, the brown stuff, or the green stuff. So we are not detracting from the horror of the story when we euphemize. It's just a case that YouTube, artificial intelligence, is watching everything we say. And there's a threshold. And if we cross that threshold with these words, they will not share Gloria's message and let it get out to as many people as possible. And you can help counteracting that by commenting, putting your questions in. It's all engagement and liking and sharing the video. And that will help Gloria get her message out to the world. Gloria's website link is in the description box below this video. Please support what she's doing. She's got so much content down there. And first off, Gloria, a huge thank you for coming on back to YouTube after all these years. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. So lovely to be here. And I was compelled to reach out, Sean, as you were the very first person who welcomed me onto the global stage. So much appreciated through that leverage and through that reach. Many, many more survivors have been saved, frankly. Thank you.
And tonight we have got a lot of people tuning in. It's like back when I first interviewed, we had a lot. We were talking about the Jeffrey case as well back then, and then YouTube shut us down. But we're back now. You're going to be getting into your thoughts on Diddy and the bigger picture of the players and stuff behind it. But before we go down that route, let's just, because a lot of people are tuning in this evening that are not familiar with your story. Okay. And I know it's a horrible thing to recount, but are you okay? For those viewers that are not familiar, to recount it, you know, within whatever we can say appropriate for YouTube.
Okay. So welcome, first of all, to the survivors watching. And my childhood was a non-childhood. I was experienced CSA, SRA, every form of childhood trauma you could imagine, through being moved around through groups of people, and family made a lot of money out of me. So my father was behind all of that from me as a very young child. Lots of videos were made, lots of photos were taken, and these reached out across the world. And probably the twist to this, Sean, as you may recall, is that it was my father's mother who trained me how to become the best in this industry as a child that I could be. And the more I could do, the more they could make, to the point where my father imported one of the first four Pontiacs into New Zealand in 1968. So I was 8 years old at the time. How I got through, I don't really know. I'm glad I made it. There were clearly times where I didn't think I would. The reach was huge. The fact that there were grown men and women, actually, who were prepared to hurt me and use me as a small child. And children should not know of this. And you're a dad, Sean, so you get all that. Children should not know of this at all. So among the many, many things that were experienced, we had a group well known across the world who purport to be doing good. You know, Masons is in the title, but the other reality is that there were gangs and groups as well. And I think alongside that, CSA material was exposed and used. Many forced terminations on me as I became pubescent because no one wanted a pregnant teenager. So there were many, many forms of horror that I experienced. And frankly, I believe I'm a miracle. A, that I made it, and B, that I'm able to use this for good. And as of last month, my podcast is now in 85 countries across the world. And we have nothing like your reach, Sean, but we have about 154,000 views on YouTube, and these are dedicated to the beautiful survivors out there.
Good for you. And I forgot, one of my moderators just reminded me, since we last spoke, when we first spoke, I have been censored and also criminalized, and the police made me go into the cop shop, and I had to agree to certain conditions when reporting on survivor stories. Otherwise, I go to prison. So yeah. I've got to now ask you, because of this caution I've got from the police, do you waive your anonymity and give me permission for you to share your story?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. If you've just tuned in, people, I'm with Gloria Masters. If you've got any questions for us, start to put them in the chat, and I will gather those. But Gloria's here telling us her story. It's horrific what happened, but she's come out of it so strong. And just to go back to your story a little bit more, just to add a bit more to it then,
sure.
Gloria, you know, you were raised by these parents who were monsters. Do you have any fond memories of childhood? Was there anything, you know, did any good things happen to you before the bad? Do you all have like early memories of?
No, I think what really helped me, and you'll appreciate this, children are naturally joyful. My personality was such, and still is, that I was inquisitive, I was excited about life. I'd chase a rainbow if I could. The reality being that though they could take and do whatever they liked to me, they couldn't actually touch my mind. So I still have that. And I think if you were to ask me, was there one person or one adult I could turn to? No, there wasn't. And that's why I think it's a miracle I'm here and that I can smile. And, hey, years and decades of therapy and lots of work to try and overcome. Am I completely there? Look, Sean, I don't think ever completely there, but I can hold my head up high. I am proud of who I am, and I am grateful that many, many survivors are being saved. And the global hand signal you referred to is for under-16s to use if they're being abused or moved across through neighbourhoods and groups in that CSA regard, to signal that they're not safe. And the reason I came up with that, and I think it's important, is because children don't talk. We do, we're adults. Children show us through behaviour, through the way they interact, and through the way they play. So this hand signal, this will get you, Sean, is being used.
Good.
Across the world.
You're saving lives.
It is. Children are being saved. So isn't that something? If you don't remember me for anything else, remember that global hand signal. Yeah.
Question from Rose. Did you know as a child what was happening to you was wrong?
No, I was so severely conditioned. I thought it was normal to the point where if adult men came to the house and there wasn't a specific money exchange happening, I would naturally climb up on their lap and expect to perform.
My God. Question from Catherine. Can you show us the hand signal?
Yeah, so Sean, if you do it with me, it's, hang on, palm up, hand up, palm across, closed fist. It's a global hand signal for distress, but I released it and last year on our Global Awareness Day for under-16s, and they are using it. So, yes. And I am from New Zealand, by the way, not Australia. Kia ora.
So Gloria, then, did you actually go to school or did your parents keep you out of school?
No, I went to school. School was my only safe place. And I think really the reality being that because it was safe, I was out of control. I don't know if that makes sense, but let me explain. It was the only place I could safely show my level of distress. So I was constantly being taken out of class, strapped, attention seeking. And underneath all of that behavior was, I was screaming on the inside, will you see me? Will you notice? Will you help? Will you ask me? Will you save me? Will you rescue me? Now, isn't that sad that that was the case? And it is for a lot of our beautiful children and teenagers today. So a plea to all the safe adults watching, and I say safe because not everyone watching will be a safe adult, Sean, we have to accept that. Please stop listening to what children say and start noticing behaviour. That's where the truth lies.
So were you able to make friends at school?
Yeah. I did. But actually, equally, Sean, I was thrilled to be kicked out of class. Do you know why? Because I was starved as a child. Excuse me. My father could make more money out of me if I looked younger. And so I was deliberately kept very, very thin and not fed a lot. So if I was kicked out of class, what that meant was I could race down the corridor, rip open children's bags and steal their lunch. So I could feed myself through theft. But yeah, that helped me.
All right, we've got almost 2,000 watching live. I'm with Gloria Masters. She's got such an important message to get out there. If you've got questions for Gloria, put them in the chat. Her link is down there in the description box if you're watching on YouTube. So Ray J is wondering, at what point or age did you realize it wasn't right?
That's a really good question. I think it was after I escaped at the age of 16. The day I turned 16, I never had to be with my father again, so I never was. I didn't realise it wasn't right. As I say, I was conditioned really from such a young age to believe this was normal, and I was required to bring in as much money as I could. I was leased out of a room in our red light district in Auckland, in the top floor of a room, back of a room, from about the age of 9. And I was actually chained to a bed. And there, you know, men and women would come in and pay money as well. But the reality is, yes, I didn't realise it was wrong, but guess what? It always felt wrong. So, Ray J, I don't know if that helps, but it never felt right. And for survivors watching, we know this. There's nothing about it that is okay. So, you know, just much love. I can see the messages coming through. Thank you. And look, I'm just a voice for those that haven't yet found theirs. And I hold the light until you can find your own.
All right, Gloria. What about, like, adults? Was there no adults at all that could have, like, intervened, like doctor's visits or anything like that?
Well, part of the group that I mentioned before, you know, you could think of them in the building trade as masons, couldn't you? But part of those people were very elite, and including up into our political system. And one of them was quite a well-renowned doctor. And if there was trouble with some of the terminations that my grandmother was performing on me, this was pretty serious stuff. They would call him in. So, oh no, I never got taken to a doctor, but a doctor was brought to me at times.
And people were asking for the age range. This went on from 9 to 16,
Gloria. No. This all began from when I was a toddler.
What?
Up until the age of 16, yes, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You said that you managed to get out of this at age 16, escape. What was, could you explain how, what led up to that? What gave you, you know what I mean?
Okay, of course. So there's a few things to this. So the first thing is that my parents separated, my mother left with the rest of the children with the girls apart from me at the age of 11. I was left in the house with my father and brother, and that my memoir on Angel's Wings is dedicated to that. So that's my whole story, those first 16 years. Now at that time, because I was left in the house, that's when I thought my life was over, and as a child attempted to take it 3 times. Now you might say children don't do that. Yes, they do. They try. And we have successful children here in New Zealand that do the same. And we know that over 90% of them have child sexual abuse at their base. So children don't do this lightly, but I digress. Once I was able to be returned to my mother, I was still required to spend every second weekend and half of school holidays with my father. So that ramped everything up between 12 and 16 because I wasn't with him full time, just half the time. He made sure I earned, and I earned good money. But at the age of 16, it was decided that I could choose whether I continued to see him again or not. And so I chose not. Now, that might sound like a simple choice, but when you're conditioned and there's a monster in your life that's beyond terrifying, that was very big for me, but I escaped. And I know you're possibly thinking, well, how could you be okay? Or that must have been amazing. The day I turned 16 was one of the best days of my life. But then the horror really began, Sean, if that makes sense, because then I had to deal with it all, which took decades.
I imagine as you got out of it, there's relief before the horror. What yes. are the various stages of adaptation to life beyond?
So things like I was out of control, drank too much, slept with way too many people, had a very highly developed false self. So if you think of a mask in front of a face, no one saw the real me. I was the smiler. I was the people pleaser. I was the person who people could rely on for everything, because I learned to adapt. And as children suffering this type of trauma, we adapt and we take on roles. And my role was the carer. And so when I wanted kindness, I never looked to any family. I looked to a soft-natured paedophile, because I thought if that person in the room felt any sort of kindness towards me, they wouldn't hurt me as badly. So that's where I got to. Not family, not anyone safe that you would consider safe, but a soft-natured paedophile.
All right, so Adils is asking, can a child severely physically and SA'd ever recover?
Well, I have, and I know people that are well on their way to it. What happened to me does not define me. I'm a lot of I'm a lot as well as a survivor of this. I'm just grateful that I made it through and I can use it for good in the world. And if for nothing else, let's save some kids. And I would like to say, Sean, that there's not a lot of education out there that's easy for safe adults, parents, teachers to use. So I'm going to send you the book, Keeping Kids Safe, because in it I've got practical step-by-step tips and techniques for adults. And you're a dad and you need to know this stuff.
Which ties into the next question about education. Yeah. What signs can we be looking for so we can help children in this kind of situation?
Right, fantastic question, Heather. Look, there's many. Remember that behaviour is everything. So if you watch a child and they become more and more isolated, they become much more withdrawn, they start doing lots of self-soothing behaviour, and that can time with regression. So things like thumb sucking from an 8-year-old is a bit unusual. That's regressed behaviour. Things like rocking backwards and forward. Things like not wanting to leave mum. Things like, talking about things that they shouldn't have knowledge of. And I think that's really key, because children shouldn't know of this until they're pubescent or getting into early teenage years. They shouldn't really understand what's going on in intimate relationships or CSA or any type of SRA at all. There should be no knowledge. So if they're talking about it, or if their behaviour, some children start to become quite, not sure of the term to use, but their behaviour shows that they've got knowledge of this and they act out on other children or younger children, Houston, we've got a problem.
Well said. A lot of questions are coming in now about your mother, asking what she knew, her involvement, and what subsequently happened to her.
Yes. Okay. All good. So if you consider, and I think you'll agree, my father was a psychopath. My mother was what I would call a very wounded narcissist. So for her, yes, of course she knew, but she kept leaving me with him. I would beg and beg and beg, don't make me go back, don't take me back, don't make me see him, I'm scared. And she would just didn't care, is what I would say. So it was all about her.com, and I just fit in. She's still alive. No, I don't have a relationship. I can't have a relationship with someone who sold me to the devil.
The other question they're asking is whether your parents were subject to SA, CSA.
I would suspect so. The fact that the blind eye could be turned and they're basically handing me off as a small child, again as a young, 11-year-old, and again, when I even went to her as an adult and said, look, this went on, her response was, you have no right to ever speak of this again.
The next question about your family, they're asking whether any of your family members were subject to punishment.
I'm not quite sure what that means. There was lots
were
of...
Were any of your family members incarcerated, for example, or arrested?
Yes, got you. Yes, got you. No, there was a police investigation done, and the police were at pains to point out it's not that there wasn't a case to answer, Sean. It was more that the burden of proof could not be met. So I was grateful to the New Zealand police for what they tried to do. Unfortunately, it was my word against everybody else. And look, to be fair, and survivors know this to be true, we are Darvo'd, so deny, attack, reverse the order of victim and offender. So I got attacked. My credibility, my state of mind, I'm evil, I'm deluded, I'm a liar, I'm always attention-seeking, I'm the black sheep, fill in the gaps. We get used to the labels, but the point is no one likes truth unless they're on the right side of it. So, yeah.
Gordon's asking, were there any other women around when you were growing up?
Family members were a lot were female, but as I say, there was a complicit, and Sean, you and I are going to look at this with the P. Diddy stuff. My thing is that people observed, made a choice. Non-action is action, isn't it? It's a choice. So those are enablers. They, to me, and this may be controversial for your viewers, but they, to me, are by far the more worrying group, and they're by far the largest group.
Susan's asking, what about your siblings?
Well, unfortunately, I can't really talk about their experiences because I have legal things around that. But what I can say is... there is no communication with any. I dared to bring truth to light, and people like me aren't always welcome in families where it's important the cover-up remains.
You're asking about what type of childhood your father had?
He was brought up in a family of four children. He was the only boy. He was given different food to eat. He was waited on hand and foot by, made to be waited on by his sisters. He was served first in everything, and he was treated as a prince.
Did this also happen to your siblings, from Susan?
Well, that's what I just said. Unfortunately, I can't legally. Yeah, okay. You understand that, Sean?
Yeah, of course. Did they ever transport you overseas or around the country?
Mainly within New Zealand, never overseas.
Yeah, I just ran behind on the questions there a bit. Let's see. Was there any ritual or ceremonial activity going on?
Oh, 100%. SRA was rife. And again, with that group we've discussed earlier in the building trade, they were very, very active, and lots of those rituals occurred. Yeah, SRA is full of it. It's all completely ritualistic.
And did that involve powerful people, like the story of Annika Lucas?
Yes, it did. One experience I had was being at my grandmother's house at the age of six, and seeing, I was being prepared for some men who were arriving, and I was told I had to do very well and make them happy. They were very important men, and up drove a black car, and on either side of the windows were flags. And out came two men who I now consider to be bodyguards. And then a third man emerged, and he was my main abuser that day. So we don't have that in New Zealand. No one has bodyguards, and they certainly didn't back then. So I'm saying that was a senior politician. Mm.
Rose, Gloria, how are you not depressed dealing with all of this?
Well, I'm 100 years old, and I've done so much work on myself, and I've been able to work through the worst of it, and I believe now I'm entitled to lead a full and happy life. So I am.
good for you.
Yeah.
Do you blame the women in your childhood the same as the men?
Oh, 100%. I had a little exchange off here about this. These are the enablers. These are the ones who you look to, and I'm not being generalistic, but usually a mother or a female adult tasked with caring for children is considered safe. And now what we understand is that between about 28 and 32% of people who commit CSA and other types of A are women. And I think it's time for the world to wake up to this fact, because even in your country, Sean, women go before a judge, and if they look reasonably attractive and they're within a certain age, the judge almost goes, oh, I can't really see. No, that wouldn't have happened. Or it's minimised or trivialised as, oh, isn't he a lucky young man? So I work with a lot of male survivors, some of whom you have interviewed. Remember Paul you had on the show last year?
Yes.
An incredible man. But, you know, the men are abused by women, and there's a lot of work to be done in this space.
All right. Regarding this question, Gloria, we're going to not use the P word for these people. We're going to call them adults who harm kids, something like that.
Okay.
So does Gloria have any understanding of why these adults who harm kids want to engage in this behaviour?
Well, I haven't done the research, but as a lived experience survivor, I do wonder if this is in this century I'm talking, there's more and more gratification or voyeurism or wanting to be fed quite quickly. If you consider the dopamine hits we get from looking at a like on a post we did or a comment, and if you translate that into people who want to harm children in this manner, what we see is that our children and young people are much more groomed into dressing a certain way, looking a certain way, dancing a certain way. And if you just pan back and look, a lot of that is adult-like behaviour in the S sense. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be confusing. Yeah. So I think there's a little bit more that the younger people look, the better, or how appealing that might be. But for people who choose children, no, I don't understand it. And I get very angry, actually, when I hear that the P word, one of the P words, is now being looked at as MAPS. And there's a move in the States to have that. Sorry, not on my watch. I also don't know if you're aware of a global website called Temu, where everybody shops. Oh, check that out. Recently, there was enough noise about it, and we made enough comments about it that they removed CSA dolls with orifices that men and women could buy to act out on. Now, just before you think that's horrendous, check out what Amazon have on sale. Now, talking to senior police here in New Zealand, I know, Sean, but talking to police here in New Zealand, they tell me that's only one short step from a child.
I'm speechless right now.
Okay. That's how we're being groomed. That's how society is being groomed. That's how parents and communities are being groomed. People say to me, it's the children. No, it's not. Children aren't being groomed anything like the adults.
Just, I'm going to repeat this question, but in terms of Diddy and them then.
Yeah.
Why would Diddy want to engage in this behavior, do you think?
Yeah. Entitled, I can do what I want. There's a real narcissistic streak in all of them. We know that Gloria Allred has, she's been in the Epstein, Weinstein, another person's case and representing survivors. luckily she's involved in this as well because she's amazing. And guess what? Her name is Gloria. Just saying. But the I think for him, he when there's that level of fame and everyone's loving who you are, I think sometimes with the drugs, or sorry, with the amount of colours involved, the white, the brown, the green, etc., there were many, many instances where, I don't know, maybe neural pathways were changed. And once a neural pathway is changed, it's not going back anytime soon. Now, that's not excusing any of it. You're an adult. You know what you're doing.
We had Busby on the channel the other night, and he said that half of the alleged survivors were male, and the youngest was a 9-year-old who'd been promised some kind of record deal or something, and now the person is an adult now, and that person can't even stomach the thoughts of even being involved, having anything to do with that industry.
What people don't realise is this casts the CSA that children experience, casts the shadow the length of a lifetime. Absorb that. We can get triggered by, for instance, that poor man, by the sound of music, by a smell, by someone who walks in a similar fashion. There are so many ways and stages of this that people don't really understand. And I don't know. I just think there's much, much more to come out. And what you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg. I agree with you, Sean. The people, congratulations if you've been able to step forward, because it takes the courage of a lion. Even as an adult, what people don't realise, Sean, is when they are disclosing to law enforcement or a lawyer for the first time, they're not an adult, actually. It's the age they were when the SA occurred.
Was Centrepoint one of the groups who hurt you?
No, they weren't. They weren't in existence at that point.
How bad do you think it is in New Zealand now?
Chronic. We've just had a big abuse and care come to light, and we know that 672,000 children were in care over 7 decades, Sean. Facts and figures reveal that 220,000 of those children were abused. Now, I don't know about you, but there's reinforcement again of our 1 in 3. Up to 1 in 3 of our children and young people will be abused. Girls by the age of 16, 1 in 3. Boys, 1 in 5. These stats shouldn't be any different than what you see in the UK, but the cover-up is bigger. With the advent of AI, AI is able to take an image of a child, remove the clothing that then gets traded overseas. And we know that images from New Zealand are being traded. So I'm going to make a plea here, and this includes you, Sean. Don't post any images of your child. Only to safe people, please.
Oh, my goodness. So we've got almost 2,500 people watching live across all platforms.
Yeah.
And with Gloria Masters of Handing the Shame Back, we have been talking about Gloria's story. She is available to answer questions about Diddy as well, but it seems primarily you've just blown people away with your own story, Gloria, and all the questions are coming in pertaining to your own story. And here's one from Linda. Has your past experiences had any effect on you having your own kids?
Oh, 100%. I went the other way. So talk about helicopter parenting, talk about protective, talk about over the top. I think my kids were both teenagers and they said to me at different times, "Mum, please can I try something?" I won't know if I can cope unless I do, you know, and it was that sort of plea. So, yeah, look, I didn't always get it right, but the point was, yes, it does, because you can only parent the way you were unless you learn or choose how to do it differently.
KRK. Gloria, you mentioned earlier a doctor who was paid by the abusers to perform those operations. Was this the same doctor mentioned by Fiona Barner in her testimony of SRA in Australia?
Well, I'm in New Zealand, so I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, it's quite far away. It's unlikely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Candice is asking for your thoughts on Peter Scully. Peter Scully was, I think he ended up in the Philippines, and he did a SRA, a CSA movie where the little child was unalived in the movie called Daisy's Destruction. So if you're not familiar with that it's an absolute horror story. I think he's incarcerated for life now.
Good.
But yeah, definitely deserved it.
Yeah.
Are the elite men and women who did these things to you alive? Are you planning to charge them if they are alive? That's what Susan's asking.
Yeah. Look, I'm still in discussions with police around this. Most of the abusers aren't alive. But, you know, there are people of interest to me. And, you know, I need a golden bullet really to take to the police in terms of evidence, because unfortunately it's a he said, she said, and it's historical.
Yeah, it is so historical. Quite a few people in the chat are asking about your thoughts on Oprah and schoolgirls going missing or anything that Oprah's been involved in. Have you researched?
I haven't, but I'm, you know, there's no smoke without fire, and this keeps coming up time and time again. So nothing surprises me anymore, Sean, to be honest. And yes, I have met Kathy O'Brien. I've been on a few panel discussions with Kathy O'Brien.
Mary wants to know whether you ever confided with anyone what was happening.
Not as a child, as a teenager I did, but it was a friend, so.
Because what got you to that point where you did confide to someone?
Well, it's funny because, not funny, but a funny ironic that I didn't even remember that I had. This is how dissociation works, is children and young people experiencing this type of CSA, SRA, any sort of A in that particular sphere, we dissociate. So our mind goes somewhere else in our head because it's too hard for us to stay in the reality. So our mind is protecting us. And a lot of survivors that you will speak to will tell you with searing clarity that when the memory starts surfacing again, that it's almost like the first time it ever happened. People who have this experience, I was definitely one of them, I had 16 years of trauma to unpack. So when I began speaking and telling a friend, I didn't even remember that I had. So I was dissociated. I said most of my 16 years I was dissociated.
Grief. Gordon wants to know, do you now fully understand why people are only coming out now in Diddy's case, especially women and underage kids?
Of course. It's impossible. We are made to feel like we're the ones that are wrong. No one wants to look at this, Sean. And the problem is we have this cognitive dissonance. So if you raise it with anyone, like people in the Diddler's case, what you find is that people turn away, or they might say something like, oh, haven't you been able to move on yet? Or, gosh, that was years ago. Yeah, look, sorry that happened. you know, they struggle with it because the cognitive dissonance comes into play because their ethics, values and morals are so unaligned with that.
And one of the things that Busby raised was that people object to survivors by saying, why didn't they report it at the time? They've waited all this long, so they must be making it up. What do you say to those people?
Okay, I'm going to say a line out of a movie here. You're big, I'm little. You're smart, I'm dumb. You've got the power, I've got none. As children, we are conditioned to look to, respect, obey, honour, and follow the adult. It's that simple. The power differential is so huge as to be, don't even mention it. There is nothing a child can do. So if someone is able to bring something like this to light, man, you are honoured that they do. And the reason they never could is because they're terrified. And we are terrified because of what we get told. Do you have to bring this up again? Haven't you been able to move on? Oh, but I thought you liked him. I thought you said he was fun to be with. Well, meaning that often with the grooming of children, it's not always just, just horror. There can often be gifts or manipulation or attention given where no other adult has. So it's very, very, there's levels and layers and layers and levels. Yeah. Hope that answers the question.
Yep. So KRK is asking about these adults who harm kids. Do they generally get protected by the police and judges?
Well, as we see with the Weinstein, although eventually that went to trial, but the Epstein case, yeah, we're never going to know what happened, are we? Of course they get protected. That's why the lid hasn't blown off this. If these stats were motor vehicle accidents in the UK, what do you reckon would be happening, Sean? There would be billions spent on this. People would be outraged. Children are dying. Babies are being hurt. But because it's CSA, there's too many people invested in this continuing. This is by far the biggest. I call this the silent endemic. And I spoke at the International Mental Health Conference last year on this because the silence is deafening.
Gloria, do you think that just like in the Epstein case, none of the video footage came to light to show any powerful people? Do you think the same thing will happen in Diddy's case, that anyone above Diddy will be protected?
It's already looking like that, isn't it? Unfortunately. And luckily we've got great lawyers representing survivors. But we know, you know, for instance, you raised Centrepoint before, or one of your viewers did. We do know that, in the case of Centrepoint, police were ready to storm in. They had evidence, they had facts, they were ready to go in and arrest. And guess what happened? One of the senior police in charge called in two of his detectives and stopped it. He was later charged with CSA, offending, getting children through Centrepoint, getting images through, all of that. So, yes, in answer to that question, if it's being shut down above, my immediate red flag is, oh, because they're involved too. So,
Monique's wondering whether you ever witnessed any other victims when you were a child or you were isolated.
Specifically with that Mason group, specifically when there were parties where other children were involved. Yeah.
KRK is asking about MK Ultra Mind Control. We have a subject to that.
I'm not sure if it was to the point Kathy was, but there was definitely mind control, and usually in the form of white.
All right, KRK. Yep. KRK, we've got an expert on MK Ultra Mind Control coming on tomorrow, John Potash.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about in the context of Kurt Cobain, Courtney Love, Diddy, John Lennon, etc. So Franz is wondering whether investigations into this just end up like cover-ups.
Yes, I believe so. But I'm also trying to hold the hope, because sometimes people are charged. Sometimes more and more is uncovered. And I'm, because I'm on the right side of it, as are you, Sean, I'm holding the hope that as more and more of this comes to light, it's irrefutable. And there's enough good people out there now making enough noise that we can't keep turning away. We've got to save some kids.
It is quite disheartening, though, isn't it, to think that we're doing all this and then the amount of bravery it takes for someone to get it to the authorities. And then if you look at the percentage of convictions and whether the cops, I mean, the Franklin scandal, for example, the only people who went to prison were the survivors.
Yes.
It's really disheartening.
Well, the cover, because this goes to the top, you know, people, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but for us here in New Zealand, there's still the stupid myth that this only happens in impoverished or culturally uneducated people. No, this is right to the top and across the top, and then it filters down. This is bigger than Ben Hur. And it's not going to go away, but guess what? Neither am I. I'm never going to stop. Neither are you.
Mm. All right, we've got over 2,500 watching live across all platforms. Gloria's links are in the description box. If you are watching on YouTube, please support her important work. If you've got a question, put them in the chat now, please. And we've got one from Chucky. Why is this abuse so prevalent in Hollywood?
Well, I think it comes back to... It sounds ridiculously simplistic, but it's just an idea. Because I'm so important, because I'm so entitled, because I can have whatever I like, because people who love me just want to give me everything they can. And I didn't realize that that boy was only 13. I was told he was 16, you know, and on it goes. I think there's a level of this very unhealthy narcissism that exists. Throw in a few psychopaths, and we know that 10% of the population are or have those tendencies. So, there's lots of other better answers probably, but that's what springs to mind. They're entitled, they're greedy, and they can. And there's a lot of money being made out of this, by the way. This is one of the biggest earners anywhere in terms of CSA and being moved around within countries or across borders.
So DH is asking about these people who harm kids, is it a power thing?
It's always power and control, isn't it? Yeah. Can I ask one thing, Sean, for your producer or someone? Can they put up the link to that book, please, Keeping Kids Safe? I just really like some of your safe adults out there to just know what to do.
Yep. I'll give you a question while I send a message about that. Okay. 1 second. Yep. All right. So from Gareth, is it possible to have a normal relationship after suffering from CSA, speaking as a survivor?
Yeah, definitely. It takes a lot of work, and there can be a lot of projection that goes on. And keep in mind that intimate adult relationships are very triggering for survivors. And there are some people who choose not to have those relationships because it can be quite scary. But I think, you know, I decided a long time ago, they've taken enough out of me. I'm going to enjoy life fully in every way I can. So, you didn't get that, did you? You know, like it does take a lot of healing. It does take a lot of dedicated work. And it does take the partner that loves you or chooses to be with you, you know, just some understanding and some gentleness around how that might be for you.
Mm. All right, so I've just put Gloria's website link in the chat, but now I'm putting the link that goes directly to the bookstore.
Yeah.
If you do go in, if you look in the description box on YouTube, you see the website link. There's a menu at the top, and you can go to all of the different areas of Gloria's website from that menu. But the link, I've just put the book's link in in the chat, in the live chat. Are the number of people who harm kids on the rise, or are we just more aware of this?
Look, I'm sorry, I think it's on the rise. And I also think that even our stats could be a bit skewed. I think there's so many people who have suffered this that will never speak. So yeah, unfortunately, it is on the rise because we now have online sexual exploitation. Oh, we have online stuff happening, and we also, there's a lot happening. For instance, we have people love Instagram. It is considered the worst site for people who wish to harm children in this manner.
Instagram is, oh my goodness.
Instagram, let alone TikTok, let alone Facebook.
You've got a question from DF, who's wondering whether this abuse turns victims into hypersexual people.
It could be a tendency. I think there, for as individual as survivors are, so can impact and the way it does affect us. So some people, yes, I know in my between about 16 and 23, I was out of control in that regard, not realizing it, but knowing it probably wasn't healthy for me to be as involved and have and be with as many people as I was. But I now see it clearly for what it was. For some people, they never want to have those relationships again in their lives.
John is wondering whether you have experienced obstruction from within the medical professions.
Not really, but that's a really good point, John. And I think what I will say is this, and I'm taking a slightly different path. For survivors, sometimes we can really struggle with going to the dentist or having any sort of intimate tests or examinations done. Hugely triggering. So if you're in doubt about the survivor in your life, just be with them when they go to one of those appointments.
You've got a survivor question. Hey, Gloria, is there anything I can say to my mother for her to understand the weight of what happened?
I'm trying to give a considered response, and thank you so much, Nate. That's big. I guess something like, this completely transformed the person I thought I could be. I need you to understand that and sit with me.
Have you ever been threatened by these nasty people?
In recent years, because I'm out there and my story's probably had 22 million views. So yes, people know who I am and try to get taken down by them, but guess what, they never managed to do it for long, so I'm not worried because I'm speaking truth to light and I have nothing to hide, so yeah, I'm good, I'm protected.
Thank you for the steady stream of questions coming in for Gloria. Please keep them coming in, and we are working our way through them. Fozzy, will following the teachings of the Bible save our kids from these monsters?
100% no. Nope. What will save the children is knowing and informing yourselves on what to look for and what to allow your children to experience. In terms of even within your home, over 93% of CSA is committed by someone well known to the family.
Okay, let's see. if I am wrong about the emergency phone number in an airport, etc., what should we do if we see the hand signal?
Take a photo, grab another adult, and I think do something as opposed to do nothing. If you see something, say something. If you suspect something, say something. Try and get some footage of this, but don't do nothing. That's unacceptable.
Glory, we've got a hell of a lot more people watching now than at the beginning. Could you just revisit the hand signal, please?
Sure. So it's hand up, thumb across, close fist. It's three movements. This is a global hand signal for danger, but I repurposed it for under 16s to show if they're being abused and not safe. Now, they won't do it the way I just did it. They'll do it behind their back. They'll do it down by their side or by their hip. I know of a child of 8 years old in Auckland, and she was signalling, and she signalled to her teacher and to the principal and managed to be extricated from the situation. So it works. It's working in the UK. It's working in the States. I get people coming across the world with this, and phenomenal, very, very big.
Look, I appreciate the super chats, guys, but there's a few questions come in around them and other in the chat talking about the pizza thing and the Fraz thing. And these are the kinds of words that if the AI sees us using, discussing those words, they'll take this video down and it won't get shared. But we do appreciate your questions and your super chats. But I just want to let you know why we can't go down those roads. Gloria came on many years ago. And since then, I can see you've really learned the language, haven't you, to prevent the algorithm from causing problems. You're doing absolutely amazing. You're doing way better than most guests. All right, so you got a question from Murray. What experience restored your hope to bring a brighter future?
I think when I first went to a therapist, I was in my early 30s, and it was a male therapist, and he said, "I believe you." Because up until then, I'd had the whole family turn on me and reject me and make me the evil, deluded liar, blah, blah, blah. So that was very powerful for me.
How did that make you feel?
When those words were said.
Yeah.
Vindicated, powerful, relieved. You know, and there's a group called the Second Wound, actually, and it's exactly what we're talking about, because for survivors, like your amazing people watching, the second wound comes about when family or people that were meant to protect you then start to punish you for using your voice.
I'm just changing my battery. That's why I've frozen.
Okay.
But keep going and keep the questions coming in. Let me see. RM, is this part of the universal human condition or cultural specific?
No, it's part of the universal human condition. This is across all levels and layers of society, culturally, gender, socioeconomic, intellect, you name it.
Someone's also asking about Aboriginal abuse of Aboriginal people. Aboriginal SA.
Okay. I'm in New Zealand, so I'm not 100% up to date with that. That's in Australia. But I've heard it's massive and overrepresented. Remember, children were stolen. Aboriginal children were stolen, Sean, decades ago. and they were then, you know, taken and used by people who wanted to harm children in that way.
You got a lot of people asking about were there any consequences for the people who harmed you? And I think you said earlier on that there wasn't, was there?
No.
And that they're protected. There's the Mason thing factor, and that there's just always cover-ups, and the kids just get, you know, the reputations of the kids get challenged and destroyed when these things are brought up. That's what we see over and over again.
Yeah. And I think that happens, and that's what we call the DAVO, the deny, the attack, reverse the order, and it all works in favour of the personal people who wish to protect the person that's offending. But equally, you know, we have three groups here, and we have those people that do the offending. We have the people that enable it by standing by and doing nothing. And then we have the people who suspect something but equally do nothing. And there's a quote I'm going to give you, and it's from the memoir, and it's this: all it takes for evil to exist is for good people to do nothing. So if I'd had one adult, Sean, step forward and advocate for me and help me or rescue me. I even put myself in boots of cars in my father's driveway so that I would be taken away. But all that would happen is I would be returned. So all it, I know. Yeah.
Question is, what if a kid uses the hand signal but is lying? I mean, how could you ascertain the situation?
For God's sake, sorry. Why would a child go to that? I mean, for any survivor watching, if you were a child and this happened, can you imagine the courage it would take? My heart's racing thinking, I wish I'd had the hand sign. But I don't believe children would use this as a game. There's nothing funny about this.
Roxy's asking, how do you deal with anger?
Go to the gym. Go to the gym. Smash some stuff up. Yell at someone. Let it out. You know, it took me a long time. Actually, yeah, it's a really good question, Roxy. Thank you. It took me a long time because I'm all peace, love, and light, as you know, Sean, as you've known for years. But the reality is these anger's healthy. And when I was working with a therapist one day, she said to me, why don't you ever express anger? And I said, because I'm never angry. Well, she unleashed something in me. You wouldn't have wanted to be on the roads that next week, just saying.
So Chucky is disturbed by how many adults there are who harm kids. What causes this? Why is it so normal? Well, it's not normal. It's I'm disturbed by these statistics. They seem to be all around us.
Well, because it's covered up. There's complicitness in it. We know that the grooming, I talk about grooming and that keeping kids safe work, Sean, that you and I looked at, and that is this. Grooming occurs across four levels. Number one is society. We're being groomed every day. For instance, underage woman. No, that's a girl. So if you're seeing footage with underage woman, sorry, you're being groomed to think that because a woman is in there. Little things like that. Start noticing language. Start noticing the MAPS that we referred to earlier, which is a big move to actually replace the term P associated with children who wish to harm children in that manner. There's things like, you know, the boys that were involved are seen to be lucky, and it's discussed in that way as though they're lucky. No, they're not lucky. If they were abused by a woman and targeted in that manner, they deserve our respect and our support and allowed to feel as bad as they need to. We've got too many men taking their lives, Sean, because they can't find the words, because society doesn't accept that it's not fun for them. WTF? Really?
So, question from Christine, was your life ever at risk?
Many, many times. I had Mini-Me as a brother who I was left in the house with, who tried to take me out many times. Also at SRA events, I saw children being unalived, and it was my turn. And the only thing that saved me, I was a young teenager then, was that my father was in with the grandmaster, who and he said, look, if it's her turn, there goes the money we're making. And so they changed their minds. But yes, my life was at risk. I still have, I'm still very hypervigilant. Like, if you were in the room, I could tell you who's behind me, how many are at that door, the best way I can escape. And no surprise, I used to win running events because I learnt to move fast. So, yes, my life was at risk.
All right, we're here with Glory Masters. We've got 20 minutes left, so get your final questions in and put them in the chat, please. And huge thank you for everybody's contributions tonight in terms of questions and love and support for Gloria. Gloria's links are in the description box below the video. There's the website. You can click over there. You can see the book. You can learn more about the hand signal and Gloria's mission. Just I've got a follow-on question from the last one then, Gloria. I mean, the CSA is horrific enough, but then for these extreme moments where your life is at risk,
yeah.
I mean, how do you process that? Is it internalized? You've just got to get through it at the moment, and you just bury it somewhere. What's the psychodynamics
around that? Yeah, good question. So for all of us, what we all have in common are trauma responses, and there's four of them. And I call them the 4S, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And I was a great fawner. So you're looking good today, Sean. And, oh, isn't your show fabulous? So I was that. But when things like your life being at risk occurs, it's that absolute fear and terror. So the reality is there were not, because there was no one safe around me, I could only rely on me. I just had to internalize it, and all I could do some days was just put one foot in front of the other, and that's all I could do. But yeah, I'm surprised I made it. I didn't think I would.
It's like you're surrounded by ever-present danger, but you've just got to get you've got to get through it somehow, and something inside you gives you the strength to get through.
Yes, well, and it does. And I think I, like I said at the beginning, I was always inquisitive. I was always a little bit of a light. I was always wanting to explore the world. So I had that type of personality that I could see the good in anything. If you gave me enough, I'll see it. And I looked to the sky and saw a cloud that looked like a dog. Wow, there's my new friend. You know, I just had that childlike capacity. I'm probably, to be fair, more the child now than I ever, because I wasn't able to be a child, but yeah.
All right, so next question. And there's some great questions coming in. What do you say to parents sending their children to, for example, Diddy had this flavor camp? Why did the parents just hand over their kids to celebs?
Oh, well, because a little bit like the Michael Jackson thing, isn't it? They get, again, groomed. They get groomed into thinking they're special. Their son or daughter is going to be really special. They're giving them such a wonderful opportunity. So they're groomed, flattered, potentially getting a house paid for. I don't know how the grooming and bribery and manipulation occurred, but they see that. They see that. And I think the reality is because they see that, they are able to convince themselves that that's great. And they're flattered. They're flattered, Sean.
They're dazzled by these people. They're like worship some. They're worshipped as gods by some people. So, yeah. Charles, what does Gloria think about educating children that their body belongs to them and no one else, and they need to speak to someone they trust?
Yeah, 100%. And again, and I'm not trying to bang on or sell books. I'm just being honest. It's in Keeping Kids Safe, in that bookstore that Sean mentioned earlier. Because, yeah, their body does belong to them. Every parent, every safe adult needs to teach children body safety rules. Their body belongs to them. No one should touch their, call it what you like, private parts, genitals, unless it's for a medical reason and mum or dad is in the room. And but other than that, there's nothing. They need to understand that they never have to show their genitals to anyone, that the only person that touches them is themselves, that they are, you know, their body belongs to them, other people's bodies belong to others. If anyone wants to show them their genitalia, that is considered a form of sexual abuse, Sean. Oh,
it's all right, keep going. Sorry, you're fine. And I think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
To be making, that's good advice for parents out there as well, because it's resonating with me. Iron Man is asking, were politicians involved? And I know you're not going to name names, but
yes, they
in what happened to you?
They were. But I would name names, but I don't know the name of the person or people. You've got to remember too, the white, brown, green, that Sean will understand what I'm saying here, rhymes with mugs, that we used, or I was given continuously wiped out a lot of the happening events at the time. So I was grateful for that, to be frank with you. Because I didn't have to experience it knowingly, if that makes sense. So I'm not saying go ahead and use all the white, brown, green. It's not a good path to go down. But I'm saying, believe it or not, I was grateful for it.
Well, the substances that you're referring to, the colours, as dark as the side effects are over time, some people who've been through these horrific things fall back on them as self-medication, don't they? And it can prevent people from unaliving themselves. So, you know, there is a functionality in the. All right. So from Shannon, why do you think they've gotten away with this so brazenly for so long? And do you feel an awakening is happening? So sorry for what you've been through.
I think they've got away with it for so long, and I think Sean and I have covered that, but in a nutshell, because I'm just going to say it, there's more power and influence behind it continuing than not.
And there's a lot of money being made as well. So, Ray J, are you in a happy place, Gloria? Content, coping with past, present?
Yes, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful. And you know what? It's such an honour to do this work, because I get to work with the beautiful survivors who struggle, and I can give them a bit of hope. And isn't that something? Because as survivors, we just didn't have any, so I feel very grateful.
And I feel grateful you're back on the channel, Gloria. I was so looking forward to seeing you. Yeah. After all these years, I've kind of been banned.
I know.
Doing anything with you. And here we are, getting it across to a lot of people. I just feel we've really accomplished something tonight, because all of you are so behind you. and you're helping, you know, people wake up and take precautions for their loved ones. All right, so the next question is from Joe. Before speaking up and afterwards, did you suffer from nightmares?
100%. I was so scared to go to sleep because if I went to sleep, I saw skeletons at the door. I had tsunamis crashing down over my head. I was falling out of the sky, landing on the footpath, like absolutely terrified, absolutely I didn't want to sleep, and I needed to sleep. I needed to sleep. We all need sleep. And you know what, Sean? Just the nightmare just continued. And I had 16 years to unpack. And it wasn't just the CSA, SRA, you know, the materials that were published, the terminations that were done, the nightclub I was leased out of, if that wasn't bad enough. There was also a lot of physical A as well, and psychological. So I think I may have shared it in years gone by, but when I got left with my father and brother in the house at 11, they would strip me naked, tie me up like a dog, put a collar around my neck, a dog lead, make me walk around on all fours. I wasn't allowed to use words. I could only communicate like a dog. So bark, howl, whine. I could only eat food off the floor like a dog or drink water like a dog. So to me, not to minimize anything about the essay that went on, but that did more to me, to the point where when I had my first child at age 27, it's going to sound weird, but I kind of thought, because of the way I'd been conditioned and controlled, that I might be having a puppy. Now, you'd agree I'm an intelligent woman, but that threw me. And I thought, where's that come from? How bizarre. But it was all that mind control stuff. Yeah. So grateful to be alive, but the psychological trauma was by far and away the worst. Yeah.
Good grief. And we salute your bravery for talking about these stories in such detail. And I know it inspires other people to come forward.
Yeah.
Belinda, is it possible for victims to be re-victimized over and over again?
Oh, 100%. We know that there is some research that if a child is SA'd from a young age, say 3, under 8 years of age, they then usually re-SA'd or hurt by adults in that manner again by about 12, and then again for a third time as a young adult. So, yes, it's quite common. And you see, what happens is we're templated with hurt me, use me, abuse me, do what you want with me. And so we all give off something, and that's what survivors can sometimes give off.
Robin is asking, I made the awful discovery that being a SA victim as a child made me vulnerable to it as an adult, which touches on what you just said. I went back to being a child, yes, which won't make sense to those who have not been through it.
100%. And thank you so much, Robin. What an inspirational question. I'll say it again. For anyone who has experienced this type of trauma, speaking about it for the first or the first few times as an adult will have you back at that age. You will feel the age you were when the SA began. There is no shame in that. You're just trying to recover from it. And to recover from it, you have to give words to it. And it is trapped in you as a child. So I applaud your bravery and courage. Thank you.
Susan, how do we ascend? Do we see the dark, deal with the dark, know that it's not our future?
We deal with the dark. The only way that you can ascend is to bring the light in. And within all of us is light. And I think you beautiful people watching, you have such light in you. you can overcome anything. If I can overcome this and look this fella in the eye after 4 years, you can too. There's always hope. There's always a way through. Your light is bigger and brighter than you will ever know. And if your angels could see you now, you wouldn't stop smiling. Had to get that in.
I can feel the light in the chat tonight. This is fantastic. We're down to our last 5 minutes with Gloria Masters. If you've got any final questions, please put them in the chat. And thank you for your questions all night. And Gloria's website, where you can get the book, etc. Learn more about her mission. The link is in the description box. Question from Angel. There are some cultures that believe marrying a 9-year-old is acceptable. Do you think society normalizes it?
Well, clearly, if a culture has that as acceptable, then yes, it will be normalized within that culture, right? That doesn't make it right. That makes it sick and evil and twisted, in my humble opinion. But I do think, again, there is much more influence, power, control, and money behind people wanting this to continue than there is people out there like the enablers and bystanders who do nothing. And partly what works in the favour of the people who wish to hurt children in this manner is because the rest of us struggle with that cognitive dissonance, which is it's not aligned with our morals, ethics or values. I hope that answers the question.
Here's an uplifting comment. As someone who works in this field, there are so many people who are better than not. If you guys are reading this, please know that.
Oh, beautiful.
What signs should you look for in regard to kids who have been put on substances and have no memory of what's happened? Is this more prevalent now that prescriptions and designer substances are more accessible?
Yeah, I think dissociation, which you and I touched on earlier, Sean, is a sign. If a child is largely dissociated, your question needs to be why? Why are they not present? Why am I always having to bring them back into the room? And now, look, qualifier, please. I'm not an expert on any of it. I'm just a lived survivor person who's got some information. But it could be they're traumatized because dad's got cancer. I don't know. But all I'm saying is dissociation is key. And I think their behavior will show things as well. So again, that overt adult type behavior will be showing itself in some way. Remember, children don't talk. Please stop asking children to speak. We know that only 10 to 15% of children will ever speak of this, ever. You look at the adults in this case that have come forward, the Didler case, it's taken them decades. You and I both know, Sean, that's possibly 1% or 10% of people that were impacted by him and his friends.
Do you have any contact with your siblings?
No. I need to be, I think you'd agree, Sean, I need to have people in my life who love me, respect me, support me, see me for the amazing woman that I am, she said humbly. You know, it's why would I be with people who don't see me that way?
You had a few questions come in about the Catholic Church, your thoughts on them.
That's where the building group, Masons, got involved heavily, very heavily infiltrated into the Catholic Church. And yes, I was raised Catholic. Lot to answer for. Anyone watching this, please go and watch the movie Spotlight and watch what gets uncovered in the Catholic Church there.
Diddy's wondering about the transportation of these kids, whether they use tunnel systems under cities.
Yeah, talking about Adelaide. Look, of course, I would suspect so. I didn't see or experience that myself, but of course it would make sense.
All right, we are at 90 minutes then, so I'm going to close the show. But first, we're going to thank Gloria for coming on. And please support Gloria. Like I said, the website link is at the top of the description box on YouTube. Gloria, do you have any closing remarks, anything you'd like to say to the viewers in conclusion?
If you are on the right side of this, lift your head up and start noticing the children around you, please. Secondly, please teach this hand signal to children or loved ones in your life so they can share it. Thank you, Sean. And thirdly, if you're a survivor, you beautiful person that you are, I see you, I stand beside you, and I believe you.
Oh, well, thank you for spending time with us this evening. If there's anything else we can do, just let us know, Gloria, and have a great rest of your day. I believe it's the morning over there right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is, 9:30.
But time for you to hit the gym.
Thank you, Sean. Lovely to see you.
You're welcome. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to close the show. Thank you, Gloria. Cheers.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks, everybody, for all your questions. Huge thank you to Gloria. Like I said, you know, when we interviewed Gloria years ago, her stories was one of the most, you know, that I've just remembered what she went through, the horror of what she went through, but how she's emerged from it to be such a spiritual warrior at the forefront, at the tip of the spear of getting the word out worldwide on this subject. She's influenced so many people. She's inspired so many people. I truly believe she has probably saved people's lives and definitely saved many young people from these monsters. Now, on the subject of getting these stories out worldwide, a few questions did come in pertaining to censorship, for example, from Kathleen right here. So she can't even utter the words essay. Why is Google preventing this from happening? So Kathleen, the artificial intelligence watches absolutely everything we are saying, and it doesn't discriminate about context. So, for example, to prevent people from promoting and glamorizing substances on YouTube, I'm talking about the white powder that people snort, for example, the white, the brown, the green, the algorithm will see those words and it will censor that video. So if people are talking about not just the substances, but physical activity involving kids, for example, the algorithm may have been programmed to eradicate that by picking up on certain terminology. But if we are using that terminology to expose that, the algorithm doesn't differentiate the context. And also, because YouTube is an advertiser-driven business model, if they deem a video not fit for the advertisers, then they suppress it as well. So we have had to learn over the years, and Gloria did a fantastic job. I know she stopped and corrected herself once or twice, but it was insignificant. We have had to learn over the years to completely tiptoe around the algorithmic strangulation by using words that the algorithm, it won't see that we've gone over that red line and it will stop showing the video. There is a red line that if you cross it, if you use so much of that terminology, YouTube will just completely suppress the video. So, for example, tonight, Gloria's message would not be getting out to the wide audience that we are hoping it is going to be getting out to. Now, when we first started to incorporate this language and not call these people out for the true horrific words that they are called, people sometimes called us into question and said, look, you are taking away from the survivor stories and you are enhancing the value of the monsters that harm kids by not using the correct language. But that's not the case. All we're trying to do is nail these mofos by getting stories like Gloria's out to as many people as possible. So hopefully you guys who are tuned in can understand that our hearts are in the right place when we're using this language. We are trying to help people like Gloria, elevate her story, and take these monsters down. And it is a sad situation that it's come to this. You would think that when you're going after these people, the whole world would be behind you, but they're not. And there are many high up in society who don't view these monsters as the monsters they are, because they either know people are engaged in it, or they're engaged in it themselves, or they're enabling it. So we have to be very careful. When it came to reporting on Jeffrey of the Island, the Epstein case, all hell rose up against me to try and destroy what we were reporting on. And we had 60 million views on those videos, and they were all wiped off the face of the earth. So it is a very gentle balancing act that we have to maintain if we want to get these stories out and try and prevent them. Prevent these monsters from harming the kids. Anyway, that's my soapbox, guys. We're going to be back tomorrow night with John Potash, who's talking about MKUltra, the CIA, Diddy as intelligence, Courtney Love involved in intelligence, and her alleged role in Kurt Cobain's murder, and other people like John Lennon. Really big names that John Potash believes were brought down by government agencies. He's a class act. He was on here years ago and he's back. And then on Tuesday night, we've got Professor Hamamoto. He's never been on the channel before, and he's talking about intelligence and Diddy. And then on Monday night, we've got Tommy Schofield back for part four of Will Diddy Survive Prison? And we'll be going up over all of the latest news updates. So we have got content coming out every night along these lines. We are running with it. And thank you to your support. Thanks to all the new subscribers and the survivors that put questions in the chat tonight. And I'm going to go and spend time with Jen and baby Ziggy right now. So we will see all y'all tomorrow for some news updates, and then we'll be on to John Potash. I think that one's around 8 o'clock as well.